Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Indeed, we are on Big G TV, so you can catch us there, which you can find at WGNSradio.com right there on the homepage. And Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. They offer some energy saving tips during these hot summer months. Schedule heat-related chores like cooking, cleaning, and laundry to early morning or evening hours. For more tips, head to mte.com/myenergyplan. And it's my pleasure to welcome in Dawn Roberts. She's the executive director of the Beasley Animal Foundation and Clinic and joins me here today. And let's see, last month, May, we had spring fling, weird things going on. So
in April, I probably couldn't make it.
I think April was Paws and Pearls week or something like that. Yeah. So it's been a day or two.
It has been. Good to be back.
Good to have you, as always. And we've got some great events to talk about. And we just mentioned the heat and how the heat kind of hit us before summer. Tomorrow's the first day of summer, but we've got lots of heat-related things to chat about, too.
Right, yeah. Yeah, last weekend was brutal.
Yes, and the forecast, I said, you know, I think we got a chance to be over 100 this weekend, and now the temperatures are predicted to be 100.
I heard that earlier, yes.
Yeah, so that's all part of it. So we're going to talk about how to keep your pets safe during that time and some things to think about, but you've got some events to talk about, so let's jump into them. And I love the name of this first one that's coming up on June 27th, next Thursday.
Yeah, so it is called Spaghetti No Meatballs. It's a fundraiser, so it's going to be hosted by Goodness Gracious Cafe over there off of a medical center, and then it's sponsored by our friends at Zoetis. It's a staggered time. Tickets are, you can buy your tickets, you can do dine-in or take-out. It's spaghetti, dessert, drink, and everything like that, and it just benefits our program.
Okay, so, that's awesome. And if you haven't had Goodness Gracious, you're missing out.
Right,
so, always good.
Yep, it's very good. So there's going to be both meat sauce and just kind of a tomato sauce for those that don't want to have the meat in it.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So that is the spaghetti dinner, and there you go. And so do you have to register for that?
You can get registered. We prefer to register, so we kind of have an idea of a head count, and that link is either on our Facebook page or on our website. So, yeah, it's next Thursday, June 27th from 5 to 7.
Okay, and that benefits the Beasley Animal Foundation, which we're going to talk about. Let's do that now before we go too far into this, because we're going to talk about some events that, you know, where the proceeds go to Beasley. So what is it that the foundation is all about?
Right. So we have basically five main programs. Our biggest one, of course, is our low affordable cost spay and neuter program, spay or neuter clinic, where we also do preventative wellness, vaccinations, heartworm testing. You know, we do some feline combo testing, everything just to try to keep the pet healthy and happy and with their owners. We have a outreach program where we'll provide free vaccinations to seniors, centers around the community, as well as, you know, the homeless folks that are facing unhoused. And then we do dog and cat food distributions, where we work with probably about 6 to 8 agencies in Rutherford and Canning County to help supplement pet owners with dog and cat food so that they don't have to forgo their own food, because we do find that people will forgo their own food to ensure their pet eats, and the need is growing. So we do that. Then we, of course, we offer financial assistance for our clinic services for those that are like on government assistance or just need a little bit of help. And then we have our newest program, which is just almost a year and 6 months old now. It's called, it was done in honor of our previous executive director. It's all of our pet fund, where we will award grants to those pet owners that have an urgent veterinary need, good prognosis, and that way they can go to a full service vet for you know, we don't see sick or injured animals at our clinic, and that will help them get the care the dog needs, so they don't have to suffer, don't have to do economic euthanasia or surrender, because there's just so many dogs and cats that need help,
right,
need homes. So we've helped about 7 pets with various issues, so it's been a real blessing to these pet owners that they know they can get the dog or cat their services that they need in order to help keep them healthy and with their family.
Yeah.
So
and that program was a dream of Amanda's before passing, and it just hadn't started yet when her untimely death. So a great honor for her in that regard as well, and some great things happening with that. And that I guess the newest program before that may have been the dog and pet food distribution.
I believe so. Yeah, I think that started, I want to say, in 2016, something like that. So because we've distributed like 38,000 pounds of food.
Wow.
In total. So
this
year we are, we're doing crazy. We've already distributed a lot of food this year too. So,
and I guess that'd be a good point to mention that if you want to help support this, dog and cat food, tell us what you need.
Absolutely. Yeah. We take dog and cat food dry, bags, make sure that they're just not unopened, unexpired. And then we package up into like 4-pound bags. And then we distribute out. We are also holding a distribution event at our location. We've been doing this now for about a year, quarterly, tomorrow, actually, from 1:30 to 4:30. So people can come by the clinic and pick up dog and cat food for them. And then we also accept canned food. So it's just everything just has to be unexpired. And unopened.
Yeah, no Ziploc baggies full,
right.
That kind of thing. Yeah, just need to make sure that everything is good with that.
Yeah, and we go through a lot. I mean, we just we just got donated hundreds of pounds of dog food like 2 weeks ago, and it's already been off the shelf. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, help with that if you wish, and that is a great thing that is done by the Beasley Animal Foundation as well. So you've got a trivia night at one of my favorite places, Family Pet Health.
Is that your full service?
Yeah,
they're great. Yeah, they are hosting it. They're actually, it's a kind of a 4-part thing. They're supporting 4 different nonprofits in Rutherford and in the area. And August 5th is our night. So it was a lot of fun last month. Farrell Hollow Farm was the charity of choice then. And it's all proceeds from this event will go directly to the Oliver Pet Fund.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's tables of 6 or 225. And there are some single seats available for 40. You'll get a nice meal from Just a Smokin' food truck. The food was fantastic. Great choices, a drink, dessert, and then it's just a lot of fun.
So have you had this event before?
No.
This is a first ever for this, right?
Okay. Uh-huh. Yep.
Good.
Yeah,
that's,
it was
awesome.
Kind of just something that Family Pet Health kind of reached out to for, nonprofits in the area, and Beasley was just happened to be one that they wanted to support. So,
awesome. That's great. The Shirleys are great folks. I kind of grew up with Michael. So,
oh, did you? Okay, yeah.
And he was my kid's 4-H agent,
okay.
4-H agent,
yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So good family there, and putting on this trivia night, and that's the 5th of August at 6 p.m., and is that going to be at their...
Family Pet Health, yes.
Okay, it's at their new facility.
Absolutely, yep. They have a really nice little kind of gathering area. Garage, little mixed-use space.
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
Right off of Joby Jackson.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so great new place out there.
Yeah, and you can, there's a link on our Facebook page or our website to get, if you want to reserve a table, because there's going to be limited, it's a limited space, so limited tables are going to be available.
Okay.
So.
Information on the website and Facebook as well, and I guess maybe just a quick reminder that Barks and Bourbon is coming up in the fall.
Barks and Bourbon, our fall event is going to be Thursday, September 26th, again at Bell Meadows Farm. We've got some new brands of bourbon and distillers joining us, so it's going to be lots of fun. Tickets should start going on sale this week, I believe.
Oh, great.
So there'll be a lot more information on our website. There's a website for Barks and Bourbon. You can look, and then they have their own Facebook page as well. So
you're keeping the board busy, aren't you?
We are. Yes. Yes.
Great things going on with the Beasley Animal Foundation and Clinic. The executive director, Dawn Roberts, is joining us here this morning. So let's talk about heat stroke and heat exhaustion with concerning our pets. I mean, if it can happen to us humans, just think about, a smaller dog or cat, you know, so we need to think about that, right?
Yeah, and they really have a lot fewer sweat glands than we do. It's just between their toes and around their noses. So, I mean, the heat does get to them. If you're hot, they're probably hot as well. You know, and since they can't cool themselves down as easily as we can because they're more, you know, they look to you to be able to provide them the right either shelter, coolness, or anything like that. So you just really have to kind of keep a close eye on them. So, because it can happen pretty quickly.
Well, summer does start tomorrow, yes. But we've already had the heat and humidity, so that is for sure. And so I guess kind of remind us the difference: heat stroke, heat exhaustion. Kind of what do those two things mean?
Well, heat stroke is kind of where the body can't cool itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a state of hypothermia, elevated core body temperature, more than what the pet can, you know, cool itself. So it can, I mean, it can be very deadly if you don't get help immediately.
Kind of like the opposite end of being so cold.
Cold.
It's hypothermia.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And heat stroke is something different.
Well, heat stroke is that.
Okay, that is heat stroke.
So there's like heat exhaustion is probably your start. You can start seeing that. I mean, that leads to heat stroke. So,
I would think that in this case, just like for us, something to drink and a cool place,
right.
As cool as you can make it, right?
As cool as you can make it, yeah. And if your dog, you know, ideally, if you could have a air conditioned, temperature controlled room or something like that to bring him in, that'd be ideal. But I know that's not always the situation. Just make sure if it's a doghouse, it is in a well ventilated area, you know, yard with a breeze if possible and under shade. You stick a dog in a doghouse in direct sunlight and it is like a incubator.
Mm-hmm.
They will get very hot very quickly. So make sure that they got shade, nice fresh water, and if they have to be tied up or tethered, just make sure that they are able to reach that shade and water at any time.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you have to check several times.
Absolutely.
A day with that.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I know my dogs are drinking a lot more water with it being so hot. So, you know, you want to limit activity during the peak of the day, although, I don't know, 70, it's hot in the mornings now too, though. So, but, you know, just make your session short. Just do maybe more exercise sessions during the day, but just a lot of shorter time period.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, a lot of people will go on walks. Maybe they go on a walk in the early morning or the late evening, go on the Greenway Trail, and
right.
you know it's still, as you say, warm.
Right.
You have to think about that pavement or concrete.
Right. Yeah, the paws can burn very quickly. I mean, I find this interesting. You know, if the air temperature 77 degrees, the asphalt could be up to 125 degrees. And then you get to 86 degrees and it's 105. And then just one more degree at 87 degrees and the asphalt can be 145 degrees. And it just takes 60 seconds to burn their paws. So if you can't hold your hand on the asphalt for 5 seconds without burning, then it's too hot for your pet.
Yeah. And you said that was one of the areas where their sweat glands are too.
Yeah.
Or is it between their?
Between their toes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's still, if that area is like 145
right.
degrees, there's no way to
really cool themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and just being hot to the touch.
Right.
Be sure to think about that. And just like us, don't want to be out in the middle of the day, if possible, exerting all that energy. That's good nap time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and so, you know, some pets are more at risk for that. You got your, you know, pets that are overweight, your older animals, you know, your flat-faced breeds, your brachycephalic breeds, like Persian cats and boxers and French bulldogs. They have, you know, with their airways a little bit blocked. So it's a little bit harder for them to cool themselves, pant, and things like that. So, you know, just kind of have to understand, you know, so your pet might be more at risk.
Yeah, or like the pug.
Right, the
you
pug.
Know, the flat
yep.
nose,
uh-huh.
is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Didn't think about that. And, you know, I like to take my puppers out and let them ride with me and whatnot, but you just simply cannot leave them in the car alone without...
Not even for a minute.
Yeah.
It gets so extremely hot and very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So even with your windows cracked. So, you know, if you have to run an errand and you have to take your dog, you have a way to keep the air conditioning running, but the best thing is just to kind of leave them at home because...
Yeah.
you know, if something was to happen and you break down or anything, then you guys are both stranded on the side of the road.
Right. That's exactly true.
So, and that's kind of what I think about. So, you know, I had to worry about my getting myself cooled off, but now I've got a pet or two to mm-hmm. have to take care of as well. So yeah.
good thoughts on that as well. So, one more thing just to think about here, that there is a community of cats, feral cats, mm-hmm. that, you know, they're not going to come indoors. They're very much outdoor animals. So what do we need to do in that case?
I mean, any feral or community cat caretaker, they just need to make sure that there's plenty of water. You know, a lot of these cats, they might be in a wooded area so they can get, you know, crawl under a shade or tree or something. If not, then just try to have some sort of shelter for them to get out of the sun. But most importantly is just make sure you refresh their water every day and a couple times a day just to make sure they've got cool, fresh, clean water.
Very good to remember there as well. So are there pets that maybe are more susceptible to heat-related illnesses?
Yeah, because like I was saying, the flat-nosed breeds,
okay.
Overweight pets, your elderly pets, and those that really have the longer hair. So, you know, it's just – but then, like everybody, I mean, I feel it much differently than somebody else does, but – I'm not used to the humidity, so.
Sure. Well, and I guess maybe for those with even larger animals than dogs and cats, I
right.
mean, you've got to keep those things in mind.
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, there's some, I think I saw just the other day, you can get a mister to put on the fence or something, but, you know, I don't, my dogs hate the pool or whatever, so I can't get them to want to be cooled off that way, so.
Yeah, they, our dogs hate, you know, a bath.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Saw a Facebook video of this this dog, and they were taking him into the bathroom to do the bath, and he just clutched onto the door frame and just would not let go, you
yeah.
know? So,
yeah.
But some love it.
Right.
You
but
know,
yeah,
it
mine
just
don't.
Depends.
Yeah,
mine either. And cats definitely don't like
no.
water for the most
yeah.
part.
It's amazing how many clients I talk to that come to the clinic, though, that are able to bathe their cats. So I guess if these start as kittens,
yeah.
maybe they learn to accept it, but... Yeah.
Maybe.
Right. Exactly.
So help us here. With if we see signs of heat stroke or heat exhaustion in our pet, what are some things that we should do?
You know, if you heavy panting, difficulty breathing, bright red tongue, you know, they're drooling, vomiting, diarrhea, those could be early signs. When they get to the unsteadiness, lethargic, they're acting confused, those are kind of more, that's a more serious situation. Get them, your job as, you know, the immediate thing is just to kind of get them out of that situation. Try to get them into a shaded area or something like that. Call your vet and then immediately take them to the vet.
Okay.
Yeah. Do not put really cold water on them to cool them off or anything like that. Just stop all activities, get them in a cool area as possible, and then just call your vet.
Yeah,
it's emergency.
A rapid cool down like
right.
that can cause issues.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, very good information. I know that this is something that we can use here for the months to
right.
come, because you know, June, July, August, September, even some of
yeah.
October can be really
yeah.
high.
You just have to think, if you're uncomfortable, your pet is probably uncomfortable. So, and I know it's easier for you to get inside, so just kind of take extra precautions for the pets that have to stay outside. So,
good things. All right, Dawn, thanks for coming in today.
Thank
it's fun.
You. It was great to see you.
And that's Dawn Roberts, Executive Director of the Beasley Animal Foundation and Clinic. You can check the podcast. It'll be up shortly. And don't forget BeasleyAnimalFoundation.org online for lots of info.